DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Sonia Corbett, who is a dynamic Catholic author, speaker, and radio host, who has produced several high-impact, uplifting multimedia Bible studies, including Unleashed, Soul of the World, Fearless, and Ignite. She is a contributor to Magnificat, and her Bible study, Unleashed, has been featured as a 13-part series on Catholic TV. With Sonia Corbett, we go inside the pages of Fearless, Conquer Your Demons, and Love with Abandon, published by Ave Maria Press. Sonia, thank you so much for joining me.
My privilege.
I love Fearless, Conquer Your Demons, and Love with Abandon. It's also been subtitled as A Catholic Woman's Guide to Spiritual Warfare. Thank you so much for writing this.
Absolutely. It has been my whole life, unfortunately.
Well, the thing that I love about it and why I'm so glad that Ave Maria Press brought this forward is because I think you have the absolutely phenomenal approach to this particular subject, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon. And you do it with the sword of truth. You use the word of God. And I think that is such an important paradigm.
I think so too. And that's actually why I wanted to write it, because what I have found in Catholic circles is that we view spiritual warfare in this cosmic, terrifying sort of way, partly because of what we've seen on television, especially contemporary stuff, but also I think just because that's kind of our tradition. But the scriptures don't approach spiritual warfare that way. It's so very practical, so very daily grind kind of stuff. And I was so struck by that as coming into full communion with the church, I was struck by the fact that most Catholics don't, that's, spiritual warfare is not even on their radar. So because it's not, I think we get hung in these patterns of sin, or I do. I mean, maybe not everybody, but I definitely did. And so I just wanted to share the biblical view of spiritual warfare, because I think in so doing, it shows us how often we are trapped without even knowing it.
Well, and the great deception, isn't it, is that somehow the devil, it only makes himself apparent in the grand, obvious ways, when actually it's in the temptations and those experiences that we experience every single day.
Absolutely. And another thing that I think people don't realize is that his power is so very limited. You know, we're taught we're taught to automatically fear him, and we definitely should respect his abilities, as I talk about in that first chapter of the book. But his power is so very limited, and it's limited chiefly to the ability to deceive us and to tempt us into sin. And once we see the patterns of that, we're just so, I was so shocked by that limitation. And everything that occurs in my life that has his mark on my life is related to sin. And if I can stop it at that point, at the sin point, then I have conquered him through Christ. Mm. And that's what I wanted to share with people.
Again, I just want to kind of address, before we go even deeper into the book, there seems to be this perception on some that in dealing with matters on spiritual warfare, that for lay people, if I'm going to do spiritual warfare, I'm going to have to be in deliverance ministry or something like that. Do you know what I'm trying to say, Sonia?
I do, absolutely. And it's that sort of cloud or veil over the whole subject. And that's exactly why I wanted to write the book, because we don't realize how often we're trapped in spiritual warfare without our own knowledge, you know, and it's related to sin. It always goes back to sin.
And it is. I couldn't help it as a mom. I grew up with my kids listening to VeggieTales singing the song about how God is bigger than the boogeyman. And you know, we would sing that song, and it's true, because what you give us, that armor, the word, the sacred scripture, and you believe this, and your everyday life can change dramatically, can it?
It absolutely can, and it should. That's the whole point. And I think because because we take sin so lightly in our lives, that's why we stay defeated. That's why we're anxious. That's why we're depressed. That's why we're afraid, because we don't take it seriously. And once we do actually begin to look at the sin patterns in our own lives and come back to the truth of the gospel, which is the good news. The good news is that we have been given freedom in Christ. And until we acknowledge those truths, we are defeated at every single turn. That's why we're completely mired in self-medication in every sort of possible outlet in America, because we don't understand this issue.
I know there are some eye points that I want to bring up, but what are some of the standouts for you that you've found has been very effective for folks?
Wow. Well, probably the most effective would be the way we go through the wanderings of the children of Israel in the wilderness. That's the most practical, maybe, on a daily basis, because that's where we're tempted to self-sufficiency and to fear for the provisions in our lives, our daily lives. But I think for me, and this always happens with every book I write, and I don't know why it catches me by surprise every time, but what I found in writing it is that chapter 4 is the one that hit me like a ton of bricks all over again, mm-hmm. And it was the chapter on worthlessness. And I think, pardon me, I don't mean to get emotional, but I think as much as I have dealt with that issue, you know, mm-hmm. You think that at some point you're going to finally make it over the hump. And I know that I have, but in writing that chapter, I was struck all over again with the impossibility, the absolute impossibility of worthlessness of any one soul. And it has transformed. It used to transform, when I thought about it, it would transform my view of myself. But at this point, it has begun to transform my view of other people. And so I begin to look at those people, you know, maybe they're in a different economical, we'll say, class, or maybe a different political class or whatever, you know, different views, different people, whatever. I have begun to really view those people that ordinarily I would maybe have a self-righteous view toward. Mm-hmm. I have begun to view them the way God views them. There cannot be a human being on the face of the earth that is worthless in any way, shape, or form. It's impossible. And so chapter 4, I think, has been the most, it's been the most transformative for me. And I'm hearing from people that, especially the God prompt at the end of that, has been really helpful with that difficulty, that worthlessness that we struggle with after sin.
I think it's important for us to acknowledge the fact that spiritual warfare, as we said just briefly, just a few moments ago, it's not necessarily the grand theater moments. And I'm not trying to belittle that or mock that. I mean, that the church has reserved a ministry that actually right. will deal with those greater manifestations. Praise God for holy orders, and praise God for the church, our priests, our bishops, that will address that. But for the average 90%, 95%, it is through the everyday struggles, the individual wounds that we have in our hearts, and that's where the evil one will get in there and lie, lie, lie.
Yes. And in fact, exorcists tell us that the actual exorcism should be the very last resort. That at some point we have compromised for so long with sin that we have accepted and welcomed the demonic into our lives to the point that we need the exorcism. But mm-hmm. all the exorcists say that confession is more powerful than an exorcism, mm-hmm. a ritual exorcism. And if that's the case, then that puts spiritual warfare on our daily radar. And we have to know what that is and what it means. It's not so often this major manifestations, or, you know, like you were saying, it's not. It is the daily work that we have to do against sin. That is the essence of what spiritual warfare is, and that's the way the Bible speaks about it. And because the Bible gives us that insight, we have to follow that and stop maybe placing spiritual warfare in this category that's way above me. You know, it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with me in my life. That's for people who are, you know, possessed. it's not. It is for us. That's why Jesus came, so that, we could live a life of freedom. If we are not living a life of freedom somewhere, then we are in bondage to Satan in some area. That's just the truth of it.
I think this goes to the greater overarching issue, and it's how he attacks relationship. And why would he attack relationship? Because it's the heart of the Trinity, the relationship between the Father and the Son. And because of our baptism, we're called into that relationship.
His whole strategy is division.
Mm-hmm.
And so he attacks relationship because it divides us from one another and from God.
The key is that in your book, what you've done so beautifully in Fearless, like Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon, is that you help remind us in over and over again in so many different situations, the relationship he craves and desires to have and does have with us, even though we may not even realize it.
That's right. And that connection is always there. And the church tells us that God never lets us go. You know, we leave him, but he is never not present to us. If he were not present to us, we would not exist. And because of that, I think once we have this view of spiritual warfare, what we realize is how very, very thankful we should be for all he has done for us from the very beginning. You know, he is tireless. He is tireless in pursuing us and giving us every single resource that we need, whether it's relationship or sacraments or the scriptures, whatever it is. We have all the resources we could possibly ever need to make it all the way. And that's what he wants. He wants for us to experience that relationship. You know, he has it. He knows us. He wants us to know him, because that's our freedom. That's our happiness. That's our joy. That's our bliss.
Mm. Yeah. Again, we're talking with Sonia Corbett about her book, Fearless, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon. And I really want to encourage, particularly women and women groups who are desiring to be able to respond in this everyday warfare that we experience in our homes and our families, to use Sonia's work as the guide. Father Larry Richards gave this an incredible endorsement, along with Elizabeth Scalia, one of the great women leaders right now we have in the Catholic Church. And for what it's worth, I think it's extraordinarily valuable, because you can use this as individuals, but you have set this up for group study and group sharing in relationship, haven't you?
I have, specifically because that's our calling as women. You know, we see Mary as the new Eve. If we know that about her, we see her as the new Eve, and she is the Ark of the New Covenant. But we don't necessarily see ourselves in that role by extension, and we should. We are specifically gifted by God for the relationship, we'll say health,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're automatically drawn to relationships, and we should be. That's our part of our role. And so because of our relationship with God and our relationship with the Blessed Mother, and even John Paul II, I mentioned in the book, says that God has given humanity to woman. And it's that gift that we have for nurturing other people that is such, we need it. You know, our times need it. And so those relationship problems, they cause us sometimes to want to separate because they're so difficult. And that's natural. But God is calling us back to that mess. He wants us to get our feet wet and to get our hands dirty in those places, because we're gifted to bring healing in those areas. So that isn't the essence of spiritual warfare at its very beginning, as you pointed out, those relationships. So God uses the difficulties in our relationships to point out sin. Maybe it's our own sin. Maybe it's someone else's sin. But the difficulties are meant to draw our attention to where God is working and where he wants us to cooperate with him. But unless we see it with that lens, we get upset, we get our feelings hurt, we're offended, we're mad, and we want to separate rather than draw back toward the relationship health and the relationship healing, which is what we're called to do.
You know, what's wonderful about this book, Sonia, again, it's for every Christian woman, but particularly for the Catholic woman, to be able to do the study. But what is learned from it is the way you've set it up is in such a way that every part should be shared with our children, our grandchildren.
Absolutely.
It can be shared in such a way, unlike some, again, I'm not trying to disparage, I'll just say it, deliverance ministry type of manuals that it seemed for the average person is maybe, whoa, I don't want to go near that. That's scary. But this is your heritage. This is your gift. This is the scriptures that God has given us to do battle, isn't it?
That's a great word. Heritage. That is a great word. Yes. It is our heritage. It is exactly what we're called to. And until we disabuse this huge ethereal notion of what we're here to do, you know, we don't get serious about it. We don't get serious about conquering our own sin and healing ourselves. And in turn, so doing, I think one of the things that I really wanted to do is give people the permission to get busy in these down-to-earth practical ways. That's where we're called to work. That's where God is already working. That's what He's inviting us to do. And until we see our lives as this training ground, not only for ourselves, but for all of our relationships, we don't really get serious about it. We just, oh, you know, that's just part of my personality, or, oh, I've had this habit for too long, I can't change it now, it's too big for me. And we set about trying to teach, capital T, our children and our grandchildren without actually having done the work. You know, we can't give to them something we don't have. If we're in bondage, how can we expect them to be disciplined? We can't. We have to be disciplined ourselves, or we have nothing to give other people.
Well, no, I mean, this is so practical. I'll just open the book right now. Here is a prime example of what everyday spiritual warfare is like. When you talk about your first deliberate, serious spiritual battle, and it was just giving up smoking.
Yes. And that's a battle. Listen, any of us, we have to at least just acknowledge that any type of habit like that you're trying to get rid of, whatever, for whatever reason, maybe you just want better health, maybe you know, for whatever. For me, it was an obedience thing. But we know how difficult that is. It is difficult on a minute-to-minute basis in the beginning. You're trying to battle it. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. That kind of battle is a spiritual battle. We don't see it that way, but it totally is. Because if he can come against us and defeat us right there, we just quit. If I can't even give up smoking, then how am I going to give up my terrible anger problem? Or if I can't give up smoking, how am I going to stop yelling at my kids? You know, it's until we actually conquer one area that we have the confidence to move forward in other areas. When I started really, you know, it's an ongoing thing for each of us, but every single time, you know, God comes back to me and says, look, you can't expect this from your kids if you're not going to be willing to do it yourself. And he keeps bringing me back to that, these disciplines, these everyday disciplines. How am I going to expect my children to have self-discipline in an area when I am unwilling to even acknowledge that I have a problem myself?
Yeah, because when you look at this particular area, and again, we're not just trying to, forgive me, those out there, we're not trying to dump on people who smoke. I mean, because I mean, I even did that when I was, you know, just out of high school, and you're absolutely right. It's hard, but on the spiritual level, on the deeper level, the enemy wants you to think it's no big deal and that it's just me and my body and it's a cultural issue. But the Lord gave us these bodies for a purpose, not just as also a gift, but also to serve Him and to be a temple for Him. And if we are diminishing our capacity to be who we are called to be, especially in this physical way, not that you have to be the great marathon runner or you don't have, you know, you have to be the great athlete, but just to be able to function day by day. See, this is how, that's the everyday temptation, isn't it, Sonia?
Absolutely. And this is the thing, you know, whether it's smoking or drinking or whatever self-medication, you know, we gravitate toward or whatever habit we have, there is what I call a cosmic flip at some point. You know, we start out doing it and we enjoy it and it's fun and it's harmless. But at some point, Satan does this flip on us and suddenly it is a problem. It's a problem. we're in bondage to it physically, we're in bondage to it emotionally or mentally or whatever, whatever it is, there comes a point in time where suddenly it's not fun anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes when we start deciding that we really should change it. But at that point, we're physically enslaved to it, and it's harder. And that's what I kept trying to point out in the book, is that our habits lay down ruts that we find ourselves, that they're almost impossible to get out of. And that's the point, that's the strategy that Satan takes against us. Because if he can get us mired in something like that, we get discouraged. And that discouragement keeps us from moving forward with God in every single area. That's the point. That's what he's after. And that's why we have to be diligent about it. And I'm not dumping on anybody either, but we share those habits and those toxic relationships, the patterns. We all share. We're all human.
Now, as the book is set up, you broke it up into basic areas. And I think that is very helpful. And in each area, you give a number of different stories from your own life, which make it so practical. I love the ones where you are engaged with your husband. And the struggles you and your husband have in every day. And it's like, and I kept reading them going, now that's it. That's what it looks like, because that's what it looks like in my marriage too. I mean, with the same type of temptations and struggles.
Yeah, because otherwise we have this idea that it's above us or below us even. You know, when God began to speak to me about well, all my habits, you know, whatever, and he used the word evil. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, he uses evil unbelief. And I'm like, Lord, look, I've been following you for years. How can you say this is evil? You know, but that's the point. We make light of sin, and it is evil. Sin is evil because it separates us. It separates us from one another, from God, and even from ourselves. This guilt and shame that we carry around separates us from ourselves and our dignity as God's children. That's what I was trying to point out.
And in this, again, it can be used for a group study. We're talking with Sonia Corbett about her book, Fearless, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon. It can be used for the individual. It can be used for groups. But at the end of each of these sections, it's so helpful because you have the Let's Review section. Just to bring it back home, just to bring out the scripture passage once again to direct to the certain area. And then it also has an invitation. It gives you a chance to ponder, to kind of to maybe journal, to do whatever you need to do to kind of reflect on that. And then the God prompt that you have in here. You're like the spiritual guide.
I hope so. That's my goal. And I'll just say, I'm only trying to lead people in the way that God leads me. And that's the only pattern I ever have for anything, whether it's a study or, you know, I just try, and it's difficult sometimes to put it into words. You know, I have to sit and think, okay, so how does God do this with me? Mm-hmm. And then I have to try to break it down into steps. And then that way I try to offer it to other people so that they can maybe try it too. It's not a hard and fast kind of thing. People don't have to do it, but it gives you a starting place to at least go, oh, okay, that's what she's talking about. You know, this is how easy it can be. Just a small, we see this big elephant and we get overwhelmed. So I'm trying to break it down into smaller pieces so that we can just try one new thing. And if we can just do that, then that gives us the building blocks to kind of build something bigger. We have to start small.
Well, I want to get my hands on the DVD series of this.
The DVD series, it will be out this week, actually. I just finished up the order, and it should be here this week, so they'll be available probably next week, just before Christmas.
I think that's great, because I can see that I have some wonderful girlfriends of mine that we play Bunko, but we end up sharing for the first probably hour, 15 minutes, and then play 15 minutes of Bunko.
But, oh, that's a great idea.
So I could see us watching a segment, that 30 minutes of the DVD. This is how much I love this, and I want to endorse this. Because, it's in a joy-filled, practical, beautiful way for the Catholic woman to respond in this area of spiritual warfare, as opposed to the we got to go out and we got to be a deliverance team. Well, you are. You're a mom.
Well,
you're a wife.
That's exactly right. We are a one-woman deliverance team.
That's right.
In our own lives and in the lives of the people that God has given us. The tagline for my ministry is love and lift all that God has given you. And that comes from John 17, where Jesus prays for those that God has given him. We each have a realm that God has given us. And we are called to be a one-woman deliverance team in partnership with our husbands. And we are called to make sure that not only our own lives and our marriages, but our children and all of those. Some of us are in ministry. Some of us have parish ministries that we're involved in. Some of us, the employment that we're in, we've been given people an influence, a realm in which our dignity as women calls us to be able to offer that freedom to other people. And sometimes it's just as simple as giving people the freedom to be faulty. Mm-hmm. Without judging and without trying to force them to change. You know, sometimes we just need to give people a safe place, a soft spot to fall. That's sometimes as simple. It's just so very, very simple. If we can just give people sometimes a soft place to fall, that allows them to be who they are, but also to it calls them forward into something better without preaching. You know, mm-hmm. We get so tired of hearing it ourselves, we don't want to be preached to. We want to be walked with, and we automatically know that of ourselves. We just don't know sometimes how to offer that to other people. And the key is being delivered ourselves. We have to, once we live in freedom, we understand what it looks like, and we can offer it to other people without that judgment.
There's a wonderful a priest I know, a Monsignor, who is actually an exorcist. But he says the exact same thing you say, Sonia. He says the very first thing, you got to remember the airplane rule. You got to put the mask on yourself first before you can even begin to help someone else.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. Because you can't give somebody something you don't have yourself.
And unfortunately, if we don't do that, maybe what we're giving them isn't going to help them in the long run.
No, it's not. And my prayer is always, Lord, take this effort and fill in the blanks. I'm giving you everything I've got. And I understand out of the chute that it is not enough. I know that I am not enough for my children. I'm not enough for my husband. I'm not enough for the people that I'm trying to minister to. I know that. So I'm just going to offer you my little loaves and fishes and beg you to make it enough for them. Fill in the blanks for me. I'm trying my hardest. And my commitment in ministry, this is my absolute commitment to you and to every person who reads my books or listens to my studies, whatever. I try my hardest to make sure that my life is free of sin, because I know that that is the barrier to the Holy Spirit's being able to work powerfully through me. So that's what we have to do for our families. We're called to that. It's not a judgment thing. God's not judging us. He's calling us to powerful ministry in our lives and our homes. But until we get serious about sin, we are ineffective. Mm. And nothing we do will last beyond our lives. My goal is to make what I'm doing last for eternity. But I can't do that myself. I have to allow him to do it. But he can't do it in me if I am placing barriers of sin between me and him.
One of the biggest problems sometimes we have is we don't see pride. We don't, especially spiritual pride. One of the greatest things Our Lady examples for us, and that's that Amen. Humility.
Yes, and humility is not debasing yourself or making light of your strengths. That's one of the things I love about her. My next project is going to be about her, Mother Militant, because she is so strong. She stands in the strength of her determination in the Holy Spirit and does not sin. That is the militance that we're called to as women, and we want to do it. We want to fight. We want to win, but she is our model. And it doesn't mean that we have to be weak. It means we have to be strong, but with our heads bowed, and that means obedient to God. Mm-hmm. That is where our true strength is, and that is when the world will change. It starts with us, because it started with her.
Again, we're talking to Sonia Corbett about her book, Fearless, Conquer Your Demons and Love with Abandon, Catholic Woman's Guide to Spiritual Warfare. And I really want to encourage people. It is the great study just in the scriptures and for every Christian Catholic woman out there, because it gives you how you live the Marian life, truly pondering the Word of God, allowing that to be your strength, your whole Ephesians 6 armor, that all of that in your everyday living out your life.
Yeah, I hope so. That's truly my goal, because I think for us women, we get so beaten down by so many things, our inadequacies, our sin, our weight, our habits, our relationships. You know, we're like these sniveling little piles of jello sometimes, because we don't know what else to do. But the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and that is our weapon. It's the only weapon we have. So between the sacraments and the scriptures are what speak to us on a day-to-day basis about our lives. And the scriptures are what he uses to move us and to direct us in particular areas. God is always working. Jesus said he knew what to do because he was watching where God was working. Well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like difficulties. You know, where is my life in a mess? Where are my relationships in a mess? Where am I having a hard time? Where is a problem? That is where the Holy Spirit is working. He's trying to direct our attention there so that we can get serious about what he's calling us to do. And what he's calling us to is holiness.
Well, I cannot wait to get my hands on the Fearless DVD set, and because I'm so happy to have the book in my hands.
Well, I'm tickled too. I was really, I don't know. Sometimes I get emotional, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm really proud of these DVDs because I poured everything into them just to try to help. I mean, I told stuff that I'm not proud of, you know, but I'm just trying to show other women it's okay. It's okay, because we're just supposed to be moving forward in small steps. If we're crawling on our hands and knees and we're still moving forward, then we're moving forward. It's when we get stagnant and we give up and quit that we're in big trouble. Mm-hmm. And most of us don't realize that that's what we've done.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. Sonia, I wish I had more time to be able to go even deeper into all this. But again, that's the beauty of the book. That's going to be the beauty of the DVDs. Even the programs that air on Catholic TV, literally, you go to Catholic TV online, you are featured there. A wonderful resource. I just have to say, especially Catholic women, the great deception that the enemy will try to tempt us in the direction of Eve, into the area of spiritual pride, that we have to do the big things, we got to have the dynamic rail against the enemy, when actually, then if we can be like Our Lady and like Saint Therese and so many, just in the everyday battles, the everyday actions, that's where he's truly calling us.
That's exactly right. And the scriptures say so. They tell us in Samuel that the essence of evil is disobedience. Rebellion and disobedience is the essence of evil. It's not the big, it is the big stuff. Finally, at the end, it's the big stuff. But it starts with the small stuff, and then it gradually snowballs to the bigger stuff. The real evil begins with the temptation and the ascent, not the temptation itself, but the ascent to it. Just like it in Eve, and you're right, it's always small, and it's always attractive, and it's always in our families and in our own lives.
Mm. Any final thoughts, Sonia?
Just don't quit. That mm-hmm. is probably my biggest advice. No matter how many times you fall, no matter how discouraged you are, no matter how overwhelmed with a sin habit or a toxic relationship or a pattern or whatever, just don't give it up. Keep working at it and do whatever it takes to get victory in that area, whatever it takes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, Sonia Corbett, thank you so very much.
It is my privilege completely. I thank you so much for having me.
With Sonia Corbett, we've gone inside the pages of Fearless, Conquer Your Demons, and Love with Abandon. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to AveMariaPress.com, the website for its publisher, Ave Maria Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this conversation along with many others, go to DiscerningHearts.com. This has been a production of DiscerningHearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.